The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. It's Dean Weitzman, and this is your hour to ask legal questions. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host, the inimitable, the one, the only, the famous David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Emblazoned on t-shirts now.
Emblazoned, yeah. That's the new adjective. Emblazoned.
Folks, if you've got legal questions, all you got to do is give David and I a call at 215-227-2727. It's the only place to call for your legal questions. Call it first, call it only. 215-227-2727.
So
it is January the 18th.
Yeah, we had to think there for a minute, huh?
January the 18th. Sunday, January the 18th. It's going to be overcast. It's going to be a little drizzly. It's going to be a little cold. Stay in bed. Snuggle up.
It'll be warmer than it's been, but
yes.
Might actually get into the 40s.
Wow.
I think. Yeah. So
the rest of the week's going to be really nice and sunny.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
Appropriately chilly January weather, but it will be nice. So, David,
what's going on in this fine city and surrounding area?
Did you know the owner of Jim's Steaks?
I didn't know him, but I know Jim's Steaks.
Abner Silver.
Yes.
Used to be a lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in his past life.
Okay.
And decided that wasn't for him and took up chopping steak.
He made the right choice. Jim's Steaks, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, as a kid, I went there all the time. How about you?
Yeah, there were only, my whole, you know, growing up period, there were only three steak places, Pat's, Gino's, and Jim's, that to go to. I mean, there were others, but those were the only ones you would go to. Now, there's a couple other contenders that are all over Philadelphia, but
I was never a Gino's or Pat's guy.
Really?
No.
You liked it all chopped up.
I did.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
The grizzly, unchopped.
Grizzly? It's ribeye that they use.
No, it wasn't for me. I no offense to Pat's or Gino's. I would never, ever eat their steaks.
He doesn't know.
I mean, I've eaten them, and every time I try to give them the benefit of the doubt and do it again, and it's always a disappointment.
Wow.
Yes.
You actually come away from one of those places eating the cheesesteak, and you're disappointed.
Absolutely.
Wow, you're something wrong with you, man.
I know. I was exclusively back in the day when, you know, you had those three, I was exclusively a Jim's Steaks.
Yeah, you liked
it. There was
it
nothing like a Jim's Steaks with a little pizza sauce and onions.
That you liked it all chopped up.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, a mixture of mystery meats, and you didn't care. Just chop it up, and it'll be all good.
And now it's D'Alessandro's for me, but that's a whole different story. Maybe our listeners can chime in on what they think is
the best one,
the best cheesesteak.
Okay,
you have everybody has their favorites.
There's a million of them now.
215-227-2727. And when that Gino's guy put the sign up that said you have to order in English, that really was the end for. I never was a Gino's. I mean, I don't even think I had one. But to be honest with you.
To be honest, I prefer Gino's over Pat's. I thought the meat was better, but yeah, that whole sign thing was kind of a turnoff. And more of a turnoff was the way people embraced it, like it was something great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let's disenfranchise people.
Yeah, it's a sad episode in the city's past history.
I think so, yeah.
215-227-2727. Let's see. Let's jump right in. Michelle from Collegeville. Mm. Hello, Michelle. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning.
How many cheesesteaks do you get in Collegeville?
Not many.
Not many good ones.
No.
Yeah.
That's a reason, Michelle, to move out of Collegeville. What's your question?
My question is, last December, 1 year ago, I fell down a set of icy steps where I live. I live in an apartment above a restaurant, and the steps were icy. I was in the ER. make a long story short, I have a partial tear in my shoulder. I'm unable to lift my arm all the way. What am I able to do? I had requested insurance information from my landlord, and they refused to give it to me.
Okay, so they don't have an obligation to provide that to you legally at this point. However, if you wanted to, you could sue your landlord. Now, that's ultimately your question. Can I sue my landlord and recover damages? The answer is yes, probably, but would be somewhat dependent upon what your lease said. For instance, if your lease put the obligation to clean the steps of ice and snow on you, the tenant, then your landlord hasn't committed any negligence by failing to clear the steps of ice and snow. And so I would start by looking at your lease. If your lease does not obligate you, the tenant, to do that, then the landlord will probably have responsibility.
Okay, let me add to this. I live above a restaurant.
Gotcha.
So the employees and everyone else, that's their entrance in
to the restaurant. Okay. And so the restaurant may have an obligation. I mean, there's several possible defendants. Let's tick them off real quickly. Possibly the landlord, possibly the restaurant, and possibly a third party who maybe the landlord or the restaurant contracted with to clear the snow and ice from the sidewalk and steps and didn't do it in a proper fashion. So I would say, and then possibly you, but I would say if any of the first three are responsible for cleaning the steps. And the other question is, was it snowing? Was it precipitating at the time you fell, or had enough time had run for them to have done the cleanup job? A lot of times people call me with slips on ice and snow, and they slipped in the middle of a storm. Very difficult case at that point, because the homeowner or landowner hasn't had an opportunity to clear the steps of ice and snow. So there's a lot of issues. Now, here's the bottom line. Michelle, this is a perfectly great example of a case that my Philly lawyer handles all the time. All you have to do is give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727, the same number you called. We'd be happy. Mm-hmm. We'd be happy to investigate all these possibilities with you and officially make you a client, open a claim, and begin this process. Remember, Michelle, you only have a two-year window, a two-year statute of limitations, and a year has already passed.
Okay.
So you better get
moving. The only thing that's holding me back is I don't want to be thrown out.
Well, okay. you can always investigate. Like, I know people, a lot of times people are scared, hey, I could get thrown out, or hey, I don't want my insurance to go up. Listen, there's nobody's going to hear about your investigation until you decide that you want to go forward with it in a public way. So there's no skin off your nose to come on down and bring your materials, and we can investigate the claim.
Great. I appreciate your time, and I will be calling you.
Thanks, Michelle. Take great care and have a great Sunday.
And you the same.
All right.
Nice listening to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, David, there's more in the news we'll get back to, but we have a guest in the studio.
Yes, we do.
He's politely drinking his coffee away from the high-priced electronic equipment.
Is it coursing through your veins now?
He's not in violation of the Radio 1 policies and procedures. His name is Dan Denver. Welcome to Court Radio, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh.
Large coffee.
Is it Denver?
Yes.
It Denver like John?
Yes, but that's not his birth last name. He changed it from something.
He did. Yeah.
Polish and less Hollywood.
Yes.
Friendly at the time, I guess.
Is Denver your real last name?
It is.
Really?
Truly.
Okay.
But you spell it differently, though.
I spell it
with an I.
Yeah. I think the way that most people with the real Denver last name spell it.
Oh, really?
It's a very small number of people.
Interesting.
There you go. And Dan is a journalist.
Who are you, Dan? Tell us who you are.
A famous journalist who writes for the city paper.
Yes, I write for the Philadelphia City Paper and some different magazines and another.
Let me ask you a question. Do journalists nowadays do that? They write for a slew of places, or most journalists still writing for one rag? I mean, one newspaper. Sorry.
I think more people are writing for multiple rags now, though my situation of having a full-time staff reporting job and also writing on the side is a little weird and just has to do with my interest in writing on different subjects and for different
audiences. The internet has kind of opened up the door too to do blogging and articles for multiple sources easily.
Definitely. I mean, I think we're living at the best of times and the worst of times.
Because anyone can. That's right. Yeah.
You can pick up the Inquirer now, and it's
pretty thin.
It's extremely thin, and you think of all of the important issues in the city that would have been covered 20 years ago that aren't being covered.
Yeah, you're
right. That's the tragedy. But on the other hand, you have the internet, which means that if you want to understand the political situation, economic crisis in Greece, you can get 100 more perspectives on it than you ever could have accessed 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's interesting. So. That's an interesting point. I never really thought about that, but you're right that the real important stories locally are sort of brushed over, and things locally that you can find on the internet are, just the real the ones that are of interest to everybody. The glorified stories, and then in the paper you can't even find the real in depth one. Because there aren't enough journalists, I guess, making a living paper-wise to go investigate and do it.
Especially investigative reporting.
Exactly.
You might need a team of five or six people working for 6 months and producing nothing. That's expensive.
Yeah.
So we brought you in,
Dan.
Yeah,
why is he here?
He's not here to talk journalism.
There is
a legal component, folks, to Dan's presence on Court Radio, and that is a law that was passed in Pennsylvania at the end of last year, the tail end of the legislative session, they call it. And it's called the Re-Victimization Act.
Let's be clear. This is not Iraq, okay? This is in Pennsylvania. When you hear what this law is, you might think it's Iraq. But anyway, why don't you give us
the bare bones of what this law is.
Yeah, so this law basically allows a victim of a personal injury crime or a prosecutor or family member acting on their behalf, the ability to sue in court to stop a criminal offender, either imprisoned or who's left prison, to stop them from speaking if that speech perpetuates the effect of that crime, including by causing mental anguish. And, crime, especially violent crime, is a horrible thing. Being a victim of a violent crime, and I think most people know someone who has been a victim of some sort of violent crime. I certainly do. is a horrible thing. But we have a First Amendment in this country, and the point of it is to protect not popular speech, but unpopular speech, and including speech that someone might despise. So they passed this law. In a hurry, I believe unanimously in the state house, and I think with only maybe five or so opponents in the state senate, after a bunch of outrage, after Mumia Abu-Jamal, who most listeners know was convicted of killing a police officer a few decades back in Philadelphia, gave a pre-recorded commencement speech at Goddard College in Vermont. The commencement speech did not touch in any way on the crime for which he was convicted. It was more just, go out there, change the world, et cetera. People were infuriated, including Officer Daniel Faulkner's widow. And they passed this patently unconstitutional law without any seeming reflection on its constitutionality. And now we're challenging it in federal court.
You're challenging. How did you get involved in that prosecution?
Yeah, so it's interesting. As a reporter, normally I'm just covering this sort of thing and not fighting them in court. The reason I'm a plaintiff in the case is because it impacts me and hinders my ability to do my job as a reporter in two different ways. First, it could very well chill. I report a prisoner or criminal offender's ability to speak to me.
In fact, let's be clear. It doesn't that whatever they speak to you about doesn't even have to be anything to do with the crime that they committed. They could be in prison.
Incredibly vague.
They could be in prison and they want to talk about how bad the food is or how bad the living conditions are.
Or how bad the Philadelphia Eagles are.
Or how bad the Philadelphia Eagles
are. And just the fact that they speak could remind the victim of the crime and therefore cause mental anguish.
Yeah,
and then
the mere reminder that they exist. It could cause mental anguish.
Yeah, this is so. I don't even know how any lawmaker could think it doesn't surprise me that Corbett was a proponent of this and wanted it, but how do every lawmaker unanimously think that this is going to survive? If this survives a federal court scrutiny, I would be shocked. I mean, really.
Of course it's not going to.
Right.
But you bring up the great point, David. Like, in their zeal to appear to be tough on criminals.
Yes, they want to.
It boggles my mind. It's this zeal to be tough on criminals. They'll pass anything.
Anything.
Anything. These nuts in Harrisburg, we sent them there. It's a reason not to vote for them just because they were so dumb to have said, I'm going to pass this law.
Now, you know, Dean and I were talking, I don't know if you were aware of this, and you probably are in light of this lawsuit, a couple shows ago, or maybe it was last show, we were talking about there was a rapper, and I can't remember the rapper's name, who was charged with murder in California. Because there's a law, similar law in California, except it goes further. It says that if you're, it doesn't need to just be the it's Tiny Do. That was the guy, Tiny Do, remember? Yeah. Tiny Do was charged with murder because in his rap song, he mentions a gang, and that gang committed a murder, and members of the gang were indicted for murder. And they also indicted him because he was in conspiracy by mentioning the gang and perpetrating their what they do.
So that's like murder too, all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, it's similar. It's similar to this law. It takes this law further. It would say not only is it the prisoner or the convicted felon who can't speak, but you as a journalist, let's say, if you mention their name, you could be charged with a crime.
Yeah, I mean,
it's almost that level.
Sounds crazy, and it is, which is why I'm so confident that the federal court, upon first review, will toss this law, which is why we need to be challenging it.
But it
sounds crazy, but the House Judiciary Committee's counsel, their attorney, said, yes, this law could be used to stop a third party.
See?
From publishing or conveying material
with that person's name, right?
With a prisoner or criminal offender's speech, and if you're in prison, how else is a prisoner going to speak publicly rather than through the media?
Right, and let's face it, folks. You may not like it, especially if you're the victim from a particular prisoner, but prisoners do have rights. They are human beings, and our system is set up that once you do the time. You've been quote unquote rehabilitated, right? You should have a chance in society, and I can give you a million reasons why,
And I personally, as a reporter, and I report on the criminal justice system a lot, including people who've been wrongfully convicted.
The Innocence of murders. Project, or
yeah, I reported on one person last year, Eugene Gilliard and Lance Felder, two men. Who it turns out were wrongfully convicted of a murder committed more than a decade ago in Philadelphia. And reporting on that case, I had to go visit Eugene Gilliard in prison. And I used his quotes in an article I wrote about his experience that ultimately helped show that he was wrongfully convicted, and he's out of prison.
You could be stifled from even, let's say you're innocent. You're one of those
saying I'm innocent.
Yeah, you're stifled from even saying that. You can't do anything. You're stuck. You can't even prove your innocence.
This obviously, this law is in violation of the Constitution, but it's in violation of common sense.
Yes, yeah.
If we're going to send these people to Harrisburg to represent us, shouldn't they at least have a modicum of common sense?
Well, that's the thing. They do. They know that it. Just what you said, Dean. They know that the law was wrong. They know that it doesn't fit with the Constitution of Pennsylvania or the United States. And yet they still pass the law for the appearance of, we may be up for election soon. I mean,
politicians are at their worst is when it comes to criminal justice because they want to look tough on crime.
Tough on crime.
And are worried about that commercial that's going to call them, so-and-so
Listen,
state representative.
Seth Williams. Seth Williams.
He supported it.
Yeah, I'm shocked
I
at
am,
Seth.
I
and
am.
I'm, I want him to come in here.
I'm shocked
I want
at
an
Seth.
Explanation
I'm
of
shocked
that.
At my buddy Jordan Harris.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
He's a talented guy. How could he vote for this? Jordan, come on.
And these
on.
Are all the proponents. They come in here and talk to us about wanting to level the playing field and not have so many people incarcerated and rehabilitate them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this is crazy talk. But all right, we got to take a caller because you know then we got Debbie on line four. I think no, she's gone.
Debbie's gone.
Yeah, let's talk to Michael on three. Hey, Michael, welcome to Court Radio.
How are you doing, sir?
Good, thank you.
First, good morning. I'd like to commend you on your choice of steaks. DeLisandro's definitely is the spot.
Yeah,
and
you got
it. The only problem with DeLisandro's is the limited seating.
There is. I usually take takeout from DeLisandro's, to be honest. Sometimes.
Absolutely, me too.
Yeah, sometimes if I'm getting a late night steak and there's room there, I'll stay. But I'll usually take takeout.
I'm going to shout out to Campos.
Campos, huh?
Campos.
Yeah,
Third and Mark.
I do the takeout off. I just don't like people standing behind me and it gets so tight. And then right across the street is Chubby's. Chubby's is good also.
I never did the Chubbies, but I heard a lot of people split their allegiance between DeLisandro's and Chubbies.
About a month ago, I had Steve's, which I'd never had before because there's one right near us.
Steve's Prince of Steaks?
Yeah.
Ugh, right, horrible.
It's just like Gina's. Yeah. It's very similar to Gina's.
Horrible.
It's not horrible.
Ugh.
You don't know steak.
Can we talk about roast pork?
Yes.
Frankly, I think that's the superior Philadelphia sandwich.
All three of them up in that little corner is good, right up there by Henry Avenue in the Walnut Lane. All those three up there are good, but I can't do Geno's and Pat's. I tried them too.
Yeah,
I'm like you.
A lot of
but
people
anyway,
agree with
question,
the Knicks.
Yeah, let Michael ask his question.
Okay. I'm on pork now.
Anyway, my question is, I have a lead tendon on the property that's next door to me. The owner vacated the property. They own the property outright. The property was vandalized. And it was vandalized a couple of times, and I was given them warnings of the property being vandalized. They never took any action. The last time it was vandalized, they took the copper and everything out, the water meter, and the basement accumulated over 4 to 5 feet of water in the basement without anyone knowing about it. The only way I knew about it was the water started materializing in my basement. I called LNI, the fire department. Nobody would do anything for me. They said it's the owner's issue. They would not pump that basement out. By coincidence, I am a water and fire restoration technician, so I handled it myself after I think the water's been down there for over 60 days. So I got a lawyer, and we did a les tendens on the property. The owners are ignoring me. How long do I have to wait before I can take action, and what kind of action can I take?
Well, you could take action right away. The lis pendens is a legal term or procedure that allows the world to know that you have a legal right or may have a legal right to that property. It clouds the title of the property. So if the owner tries to sell it, the buyers are aware that you may have a legal issue with regard to title. Okay.
That's what I wanted to do. Well, first of all, what I did was, I first went down to the civil claims court, and then I said, all I'm going to get is a judgment. That's just going to be a piece of paper. Nothing's going to happen. And then they directed me to get a mechanic's lien. And then the mechanic's lien, I understand, also can be challenged. And so the les pendens was more of a concrete way of
tying
the property.
It's no less unchallengeable as any of the other items, but it's quick and simple, and you get it. And then, but then you have to follow that up with a procedure that asserts your claim. Like a lawsuit saying, "Hey, because you didn't take care of your property, you've damaged my property, and I had to take steps to fix your property. So I have all these damages, and you sue the owner of the property. You get a judgment against the owner, and then you levy that judgment against the property. You could sell the property, or what have you. But you could do that right away. You should do that right away, is to bring those claims that you have for your damages."
Yeah, because we've been filed over 30 days now, and I'm not hearing from nobody. And
yeah, because you're not going to. You're not going to. The lis pendens isn't going to resolve your underlying issue of, you know, ultimately you want to get paid for your damages. And so you're going to need to file a lawsuit to asserting your damages and your claims. And the lis pendens is just a quick way to say, hey, this lawsuit's coming down the pike. I have a claim against this property. If you buy it, or you try to sell it, the world knows that there's a potential claim against the property. So, but you got to file your lawsuit. That's the bottom line.
So it doesn't stop them from, it doesn't prohibit them from selling it, but a savvy owner probably wouldn't touch it because of the listing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And where else, Michael, can you call on a Sunday morning and talk about a Latin term called lis pendens? Thanks for calling.
And cheese steaks.
Yeah, exactly. Same conversation.
Thanks for calling Court Radio, Michael.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
Michael, stay on the line. We're going to get you a T-shirt from Court Radio. Hold on.
Lis pendens.
I appreciate that.
Pendens with.
Yeah. Lis pendens with.
Wit.
Yeah.
No, Lis pendens with.
There's no H there.
Is that Latin too? Wit.
Yeah, wit. Right. No, that's not. Here's Michael. Michael from South Philly. Hold on. All right, let's jump back. Well, we're going to actually, when we come back from break, we're here with Dan Denver. Dan's a journalist at the City Paper who sued the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and every legislator. I love it. No, he's brought the law to the court to say that the law is unconstitutional. That was quickly and without any brain common sense at all was passed by the Pennsylvania House, which forbids criminals from even talking, let alone talking about their crime, talking if the talking will in any way harm the victims of the crime, even if it just brings them mental anguish. I really would like to see how folks weigh in on this. If you've got an opinion on this issue, give us a call. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's still Sunday, February the 18th. It's Martin Luther King weekend. And tomorrow will be MLK Day in Service, Philadelphia. And we are talking to Dan Denver. We're talking about criminals having lost the right to talk. If there are criminals who committed crimes of violence where somebody was injured and their talk, their speech would in any way affect negatively the victims of their crime. It even goes so far as to include the family of victims.
Yeah, and a lot of family members.
Yeah.
I think brothers, sisters, mothers, I think even maybe uncles and aunts.
So, if anybody is in, and it doesn't have to be that the criminal is speaking about the crime. This whole law kind of quickly, and again, I emphasize, without any common sense, without any thought, by our politician friends in Harrisburg, the law passed because Mumia Abu-Jamal was giving a commencement speech that was taped. He wasn't talking about his crime. He was just, you know, a normal commencement speech. Kids, you know, get out there. And it so infuriated the family members. And if I were a family member, it probably would infuriate me as well. I mean, you know, of a victim of his crime.
Most definitely.
And so, because, you know, it shows him in a light like he's respected
by
the intelligentsia. He's, you know, he's actually, kids are listening to him as they're starting out their lives. You know, that's all very infuriating. But, infuriation or not, that's not a basis to enact a law that's so far sweeping and so unconstitutional as this law is, which is the fact that he spoke not about his crime, but that speech infuriated and angered and hurt the victims of his crime is enough for somebody from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to prevent that speech from having been heard and to sue for damages. I don't know. What is the damage? What could they do if somebody violates this law?
I think the idea is that the court could enjoin them. I'm not sure what sort of punishment could be levied, but that the court could order them to cease the speech.
Okay. So it freezes the freedom of speech, which I think is in the First Amendment. You know,
you think?
and so it really quashes the First Amendment for prisoners who had committed crimes of violence. But not only that, it goes even further. Not only will it impede the prisoners, but it impedes journalists themselves, which is what brings you here.
Yeah, I think the reason I report on criminal justice issues is because I think it's one of the most important issues. There's some of the most important issues in our society. Crime is obviously important, but so is our prison system, which is now per capita and in absolute terms by far the largest on earth. We incarcerate, you know, 2.2 odd million people in this country, 52,000 odd people in Pennsylvania. Something's clearly broken, so we need to be having a discussion about what's going on with our criminal justice system. And it's my job as a reporter to be looking inside that system, seeing what's broken, what's happening, so that we can have a discussion about fixing it. And I can't do that if I'm worried that someone is going to drag me into court because of a story that I wrote.
It's interesting.
Publishing the story.
What you need and what we all need is perspective, and to think or to even say, which is what this law does, that we don't need the perspective or we shouldn't have the perspective of any prisoner because they're prisoners. They can't bring anything to the table but mental anguish and harm to their victims. Really is goes against even our whole prison system. The whole purpose of our prison system.
How about this?
Is to rehabilitate.
How about a prisoner who goes out to youth organizations
right.
to talk about his crime so that he prevents them from following in his footsteps?
Oh, yeah, that's
in fact, that's the case of some of my co-plaintiffs. They are former prisoners who.
Well, how many politicians I'm thinking are in favor of Scared Straight, that whole Scared Straight program?
Yeah.
Well, this would all be. It couldn't be done.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Frank from Northeast Philly, who's got a question. Hey, Frank, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
Okay, my question is that I have, back in 2011, of September of last of 2011, I had a personal injury, and I did a claim. Back in August of last year, we went for settlement. Everything was settled. They told me what was my amount. And it happened back in August 5th of last year. We in January now. It's approximately 5 or 6 months. every time that I called my lawyer, first was that he was sick, second was that his mom was in the hospital, and third was that he was going to give me my settlement money next week. Next week went by, and every time that I try to get a hold of him, I just can't.
Okay, well, that's not a good not a good story there, Frank. No, I don't like that story. You know, what anybody can do when it comes to settlements and their money is they ask and they ask and they ask. But ultimately, if you don't get a response, and really 5 or 6 months is 5 or 6 months too long. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times when a lawyer has to hold a client's money for even longer. When there are potentially liens from third parties like the Department of Public Welfare, child support, these liens can cloud whether somebody's entitled to their own money or not, and it could take time to iron out. However, I'm not suggesting that's your case here, Frank. I'm just saying that there are times. I don't want everybody to call and say, hey, he's holding my money. Okay. But what you could do at this point, bottom line, is you call the Pennsylvania Disciplinary Board. Yeah, I try to keep that out of my mouth.
I know.
The Pennsylvania Disciplinary Board governs lawyers and their conduct, and they will make the phone call to your errant lawyer and find out where your cash is. If you don't have an explanation in writing from your lawyer why he hasn't made distribution in 5 months, then that's too long, and you need to involve somebody else in that.
I was asking him, and he was telling me he was trying to make a less settlement with the insurance company because it was an X amount of money, and it was too high for my medical bills. He was trying to lower that down. But, I mean, I don't know how long that takes. I don't know what he's doing at this time.
Well,
but,
first of all, did you settle your case?
Yes, I did. Yes, it was settled.
And how much did it settle for?
It settled for $87,500.
$87,500.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You mentioned that there are medical bills that he's trying to negotiate, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The medical bills were $60,000. It was a lawyer.
Well, therein lies your issue.
Yeah. So he's trying to negotiate. You have a lien, let's say. Did you have Blue Cross Blue Shield at the time that paid your medical expenses?
No, that was a workers' comp insurance.
Okay, so workers' comp pays out $60,000, and they want to get paid back their $60,000, or some piece of that. Under Pennsylvania law, they don't get it all back, but they get back 40 of it.
Okay.
So he's trying to negotiate with them. There's only so much negotiation you can do, and 5.5 months is too long. You are entitled to get paid something, whatever that amount is, and you should have this thing wrapped up by now. That's my opinion. If that's the issue, workers' comp, that's something that we routinely negotiate, but there's only so much negotiation you're going to do. If you have a $60,000 lien, you're going to owe them about $40,000, $30,000, $40,000, $45,000. That should be resolved. You're going to get something out of that settlement. I'm not exactly sure how much. And let's say that he's trying to do a good job and get you as much as he possibly can. I get that, but he has to wrap it up. Time's of the essence, and you're entitled to your money. Thanks for calling. Yes.
Thank you so much. If I need your service, will I be able to use you for this service, or I have to go to the board where you was telling me at?
Sir? I would say that at this point, the best thing I could tell you is to go to the disciplinary board. The question is, where do you go the next time you have an accident or a work-related injury?
My city lawyer.
There you go.
That hesitation is questionable.
No, it's funny. This is the first time I ever called this. I ever spoken to you, and it's funny because you almost got me on that one.
I told you that hesitation. He was really the brain was working on there. Where do I go?
You have a great day. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, Frankie. Be well.
Bye.
Thanks.
All right. City lawyer. Bye bye. Right.
See you, bud. Bye. 215-227-2727. That was a complex question, David.
It was.
And it's Sunday morning at, 7:40. All right, let's talk to Kathy from Germantown. Oh, Kathy, welcome to Court Radio. Kathy? Well, I'll tell you. All right.
Kathy's sleeping.
Yeah, she's in the weeds, as they say.
She fell back asleep.
She has asked, is there an update? on the E. Stephen Collins litigation? And the answer to that, Kathy, is the matter is going forward and we're in the midst of discovery. That means we're taking depositions of all the witnesses and parties and we're gathering the medical records and documents and gathering up a witness, expert reports, and experts are chiming in on the claim. And we expect it to go through 2015. At the end of 2015 or very, very early in 2016, this case will come up for trial. If it hasn't resolved before then, and the parties are moving in that direction at this point, and we'll have more for you as we get closer toward the end of this year, as we get closer to trial on E. Stephen's claim. And it's funny that you should ask this question this weekend, because E and I always we sat in as MCs at the Martin Luther King lunch that is always held for the MLK Association for Nonviolence of Philadelphia every Monday of MLK weekend. And so that was a really an amazing event that E and I participated in together, and we had a great time doing it. And this is always a time of the year that I remember fondly those times we had. So thanks for asking about E and his litigation, and we'll keep you informed as things go along. So, Dan, we're back to the recriminalization,
Revictimization
Act, sorry. and the question is, if it doesn't pass, where do you go from there?
If
it's not set aside as being unconstitutional,
okay.
If it's not set aside as being unconstitutional, what happens next? What's plan B?
I assume it would be appealing to the
Supreme Court,
the Third Circuit.
The Third Circuit.
And then the Supreme Court.
Right.
But it's really hard for me to imagine. I mean, the Supreme Court has made it so clear time and time again over the years that there are such incredibly narrow circumstances upon which you can restrict speech based on content. I mean, you look at this recent case involving the Westboro Baptist Church, who protested loudly outside of military veterans' funerals. Said God hates, you know, fill in derogatory word for gay people. I mean, really the most horrendous people.
I saw
on
that.
Earth.
They really are the worst.
And they
of the
have
worst.
A total, just as the Klan has a constitutional right to march through Skokie, a town outside of Chicago full of Holocaust survivors.
Yep.
I mean, we have a very, very strong protection for speech in this country.
Yeah,
and I'm glad we do.
Yeah, it ultimately is a good thing, although sometimes you might not see that, but it is.
Right. No. But when those church groups were protesting outside of a funeral.
I know.
A funeral.
I know.
And they're holding signs up that God hates.
Talk about mental anguish.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It makes your jaw drop how horrendous that is.
Hate-filled these people
are. Yeah, and yet we allow that. And here, this Pennsylvania law passed by almost all of the politicians in Pennsylvania.
I can't wait to get one of them in here.
Yeah, it actually forbids even speech that had nothing to do with the crime itself. Yeah.
Like a prisoner mailing me to say there's a correctional officer who's
beating,
physically
people.
Abusing me and other inmates,
right.
Which is something that reporters should investigate, and that I have investigated in the past.
There was that just came out actually. There was a prison guard who was engaged in behavior like he was making prisoners play patty cake.
Yeah.
Nude.
And how do you think all of those things?
Nude patty cake.
Don't even
because
go
prisoners
there.
Spoke
exactly.
Up.
The only way that comes to light is someone, a prisoner, brought it to someone's attention.
Yeah, this
patty cake
in a county prison, I think, was engaged in this really perverse sexual abuse of prisoners.
Yes, yes. Just to show you how strange human beings can be, that he
including authority figures.
Absolutely.
Especially
authority figures.
Yeah.
Because they have the authority.
He wanted nude.
It's one of the key elements.
Nude patty cake. All right, let's talk to Anita from Northeast Philly on line two. Hi, Anita, and welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how you doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Look, I have this question. I had a family member tell me that I asked about a funeral policy of my mom. She was buried. And I said, well, how much was the insurance policy? And the statement that I got back was, you need to ask my lawyer that. Is it any way that it could be found out how much the total of the insurance policy was, or is that a secret?
Pretty much a secret. I don't know. See, usually an insurance policy is payable to a beneficiary. And so that's a private contract between two parties, subject to all the privacy laws that we have in America that we have. And so unless the policy isn't payable to a beneficiary, sometimes it's not payable to anybody and it goes to the estate. Sometimes it's payable to the estate so that all the beneficiaries of the estate share in it. Though that's, I would say, probably the exception and not the rule. Generally, people put policies to people. And so if that's the case, there's no obligation to reveal that to you. Now, you could ask for an accounting, and that means that you're saying in court to the person who's in charge of the estate, usually called an administrator or executor of the estate, you're saying to that person, I want to know all the bills and all the assets of the estate. I want to know how much money the estate has. I want to know what they've spent the money on. And you can go into court and you can ask for that accounting. But it wouldn't include the policies of life insurance if they didn't pass through the estate. I will say this, though. We're going to have an entire estate show coming up on February the 1st. When we have the famous, he's never been on before, the famous Saul Langsam from Court Radio, from My Philly Lawyer, is going to be in the house on February 1st. But to answer your question, preliminarily, I would say you're going to have an uphill battle finding out how much is in that policy if it doesn't get paid through the estate. Though I would start with an accounting. If you really think people are trying to get over on you, you could look into the possibility of requesting an accounting on the estate. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. 215-227-2727. Lines are lighting, and I appreciate the calls. We got Dan Denver in the studio who works over at the City Paper. And does it cost any money to buy the City Paper?
No, it's free every Thursday in those orange boxes. And you can see some of the criminal justice work that I'm fighting to protect my right to do.
Do you are you like sometimes on the front page of the City Paper?
It's true. Sometimes on the very cover of it.
Wow.
Hey. By the way, this law has been passed, correct?
Yes.
So right now, technically, you can't really... feel free to do what you
have. You been violating the law, Dan?
Yeah.
No one's. And this is going to be getting into the legal weeds here. The big first hurdle is going to be establishing that we have standing. I obviously, and my lawyers obviously at the ACLU, think that I do have that we do have standing. To sue. But I'm guessing that the defendants will argue that we do not, because no one has yet to use the act to try to silence someone. But we're arguing that it has a chilling effect from the get-go.
Sure.
That when I reach out to a prisoner.
You've been chilled.
Yeah.
You've been chilled.
Yeah.
I feel it. I can feel the chill coming
feel
off
chilling.
Of you. Yeah.
No, well, really, who's going to want to talk? If they know the law exists, who's going to want to talk to you?
Yeah. I really do think
charged with another crime.
That it's currently impeding
my
ability to report, and that bugs me.
So to answer your question, Dean, we now have the end of what goes on from here. Really, the key is you take little steps. If for some reason if you don't have standing, then the only other way is to actually get charged with the crime based, have someone get charged with it and then challenge that.
And there's another lawsuit in which I think Mumia and Abu Jamal and some other people are plaintiffs.
Okay.
But, you know, again, this really has nothing to do with what you think about the Mumia Abu Jamal
case. It's totally
different. Or anything. But we, you know, have politicians that get so excited and so cowardly when it comes to criminal justice issues and beating up on criminals. But like we were talking during the break, you know, have very little interest in doing the sorts of things that might prevent crime, like, say, funding Philadelphia schools.
This should outrage listeners. They think that we're stupid and that we don't understand issues and we just understand sound bites. And some of you may be that way, but most of you aren't, I hope.
It is insulting.
Yeah, it's insulting.
Cowardly enthused. Was that you put that together? Like they were enthusiastic cowards. Okay, we're going to be right back. We got 2 minutes of commercials. Then we're coming back with Dan Denver. We're taking your questions. This is Court Radio, and we'll see you in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-U.S.-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-U.S.-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, 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 welcome back. It's Court Radio and it's still February. January.
Wow.
January the 18th.
Whoa.
Sunday, January the 18th. It's a little nasty outside, so don't go out unless you have to. Keep listening to Court Radio.
Well, I don't think it's that bad outside. It's not really bad. You can actually go out and you'll be okay.
You can in 8 minutes, right as Philly Speaks begins. But 215-227-2727. That's the number to call. Hey, you know, we're across the board on we got to say hello to our friends on Praise Radio and on Boom as we boom across Boom today. 215-227-2727. We're joined in the studio with Dan Denver, who's a journalist, reporter for the City Paper. And we got a question from one of our callers for you, Dan. Let's talk to Deborah from West Philly.
Hey, Deborah.
I'm Barbara.
Barbara.
Barbara. Okay. That's even better.
We're gonna take Monica out to the woodshed after this show's over. So, Barbara, I'm sorry. What's your question for Dan?
No, I just wanted to know if you could go over where things stand now, especially for the supporters of Mumia and or any other, you know, person in speaking out and having rallies and that whole thing. And I'll hang up and listen because I know other people want to get on.
Barbara, stay on the line, though, because Monica's going to get your address. We're going to get you a T-shirt for Court Radio for messing your name up. Hold on.
There are no protests or rallies planned as of yet that I know. But just on a separate note, there is a big protest planned for tomorrow for Martin Luther King Day, I believe, which is touching on some of these larger issues about, you know, criminal justice reform, I think. But the best way to keep to follow this. I think if you go to the Pennsylvania ACLU's website, I'm not sure exactly what the URL is, but if you Google Pennsylvania ACLU, you'll find it. You can see all of the legal filings and stay updated on the case. At some point, there very well could be rallies, but I think we're hoping to be able to win this pretty decisively and quickly in court.
What I think Barbara was touching on, though, was what's the state of the law? And I think what we said, that it is a law right now. However, it's so vague and so broad in its scope that I don't think anyone really knows how it would be enforced and who it would be enforced against for what. But with that in mind, I can envision the way the law is written. If you do protest, let's say in favor of Mumia, and you mention his name and maybe quote something that he says, you could technically be in violation of this law.
Which seems insane.
It seems insane, but
the House Judiciary Committee's attorney said that it could do just that.
Absolutely.
So not only did they pass this law, but they were advised of the law's breadth and implications by the attorney,
and they still passed
the law.
So I don't think anyone would be crazy enough to enforce it right now. However, and for the reasons that we talked about, once they enforce the law, it really makes it ripe for review by a court. My guess is I'm hoping it never gets enforced, and what you do, Dan, kind of gets rid of it.
I'm hoping that I run the world one day, because if I did, this wouldn't happen.
Yeah, well,
this would never happen. All right, David, I'm going to give you your big. This is your big shot, David.
Oh, geez.
We have Renee or Dorothy. They're both from Southwest. And so the question is, who are you going to pick?
Now, thanks. Thanks a lot. Renee or Dorothy? Dorothy.
Okay.
Let's go with Dorothy.
Let's see. Line 4, Dorothy. Welcome to Court Radio. What's your question?
My question is, I'm having a problem with my life insurance. And I would like to know, can you advise me to a lawyer that don't mind fighting an insurance company?
Well,
I have gotten in touch with the commission on.
Tell us the problem, Dorothy. What do you mean?
The problem is they will not reinstate me over $80.
Okay.
And I've been in insurance over 20 years.
Sounds like an insurance company to me.
Yeah. Yeah. They're full of love.
And I just don't understand. First, I joined the Philadelphia close to 22 years ago. The Philadelphia Insurance, they merged with Conseco, and now everybody's lying to me.
They were just waiting for you to miss a payment or something because you're 80 now, and they figure, uh-oh.
No, I'm not 80. I'm 67
today. I'm sorry. I thought you said, 80. What did you say, 80?
$80.
$80. I apologize. But but still, they're just waiting for you because you've had that policy for so long. The older we get with life insurance policies, the more risk they have. So they had a... they had a microscope on your policy, waiting for one day late on something, and then boom.
See, Dorothy, here's the deal. Unfortunately, can't give you a strong opinion one way or the other, because a lot will depend on the policy itself. If the policy has a clause that says if you miss, if you're more than 30 days late, we can rescind your policy or cancel your policy, and in fact you were more than 30 days, and the insurance company wasn't responsible for that delay. And there's a bunch of ifs there, but...
it was only, I think it was 5 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, could be one day is enough.
Oh, here's a politician.
Depending upon
God
their...
God bless politicians.
Yeah.
We're going to find out if you
could
voted
be one
for this
day.
Law.
Okay.
So, in any case, Dorothy...
But it wasn't my fault.
Whose fault was it?
It's their fault because I deal with my bank. I don't pay my bills. I call my bank and pay my bills.
Okay.
And they said they got back in touch with me and told me they're not set up for electronically. I don't know the rest of the words.
Electronic transfer funds, right.
Okay.
We got you.
Electronically accepting money.
Right.
So my bank called me back and told me they had to send them a check. So they got the check on a Friday, and they said, no, that's not acceptable.
All right, Dorothy.
And it was $80.
Dorothy. Okay. I feel your pain, and we're going to look into this. Give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727.
Stay on the line.
David says stay on the line.
You need to get a T-shirt.
Well, can I have one of them shirts because today's my birthday?
Oh, well,
today's your
you're going to get a shirt because it's your birthday because I screwed your age up.
There you go.
So there you go.
Stay on the line. All right, Dorothy. We'll be back to you. Thank you. Folks, we're running out of time. I want to thank Dan Denver for his participation in today's show.
Thanks very much for having me.
And David, I'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
Yes, and let's keep we'll get you back when something happens with this to see what the result is.
Have a great week, folks. Thank you.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.